Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the DGDG.com studios, high atop the San Francisco skyline, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Good to be with you. Thanks so much for stopping on by from the text line. Damon, the Raiders haven't beat a single team with a winning record yet. They're the kings of the garbage.
Look, last year you didn't beat anybody no matter what their record was, all right? You weren't knocking on anybody's door. You were officially, teams didn't even have to game plan to play the Raiders last year. It's like, all we need to do is make sure the plane successfully lands at the local airport, and it's a win. The only thing you needed to do to beat Oakland in the past was travel to Oakland or have Oakland travel to you. It was like a served up dummy. And it's getting a lot harder to beat the Oakland Raiders. That seems like a backhanded compliment, but it's the truth. The Raiders have not been, like, blown their doors off embarrassed really all year. Not as far as I'm concerned. There have been disappointments. Would they like a better record? Did they come close in Chicago, Pittsburgh? Yep. But it's getting better. Now, this is a game that leaves a lot to criticize. It's good that we're critical. You actually have something to be critical about. In the past, being critical of the Raiders just seemed like you were picking on the slow kid in class. The Raiders have moved not to the head of the class, but you know what? They're close to not getting on the honor roll even, but they're C students, C+ even, mixing a B- every now and then. They were in this game against the Chiefs team that has now won 6 straight after a 5-game losing streak. By the way, only 3 other teams in NFL history have had a winning streak of 6 or more games after a losing streak of 5 or more games. So what the Chiefs are doing is pretty unprecedented, and they're putting it together at the right time. You know, how many Chiefs fans were about to talk about how Andy Reid can't coach? Wrong guy. Now look at him. This league is so week to week, and people's opinions change so drastically and radically about a player week to week. Blaine Gabbert makes 2 plays in Chicago, and now everybody's comfortable with him starting for the 49ers next year. Give me a break. You know, this was a game where it looked like Carr was playing well. Early on, Amari Cooper, that's a terrible drop on 4th-and-1, man. You can't make that drop. You're way too good to be stone hands when you're uncovered. He had a straight up, I dropped it on 4th and got to have it early on in the game. That was a moment that definitely helped to turn things around. Could have gotten, absolutely would have been, I think, at least getting into Polish distance had he caught that. You then had the first interception that was returned to the 1. Marcus Peters, who had like 100 people because he's from Oakland playing his first game in Oakland. He was dying to make a play. He did. He gets a pick off Derek Carr. And then that 3rd and final that went to the house, that's the one that really hurt.
Carr going to throw for Amari off his fingertips, incomplete.
Here's
the ball deflected and intercepted by Tyvon Branch. 20, 15, 10, 5, Tyvon Branch, touchdown. The former Raider takes it all the way back for a cheap touchdown.
Ouch. Ouch. Greg Papa, of course, with the call. So, look. A lot of things were going well. Latavius was moving the ball a little bit on the ground. Derek, man, the strike that he had to Crabtree
on the goal line where he's getting sandwiched in between two guys. That was impressive. Charles Woodson was out there making plays. Khalil Mack has played his best 3 weeks together, strung together, as a pro in the last 3 weeks. He is starting to officially flash and come, not just like in a quarter, in a half. This guy's making play at series after series after series now. But it wasn't enough. Wasn't enough to win. The 49ers, they find enough to win in Chicago. They find it in overtime. Gabbert, 71 yards to Torrey Smith. Now here we go. You know, Gabbert the quick. We've got two storms a-coming. We've got gabbernicking. I saw that going on. Gabbernicking is a thing now. Look, whatever it is, it was awesome. I'm happy for the guy. We talked to Blaine Gabbert. Really enjoyed the conversation. You know, we talked to Shane Drone. Sean Drone. Not Shane Drone. Never talked to him. Sean Drone is a guy. I'll tell you, it's amazing to see how hard it is to make an NFL team, isn't it? Because that guy looks like he belongs in the NFL when he's running with the ball. He actually looks like he can run a little bit. He looks like he makes plays out of the backfield. As a matter of fact, really the thing that was dotting, like the sequence that was going to describe the Niner game perfectly right up until they won it, was this. The sequence that explained the entire game is when the 49ers caught that break when the Bears were, you know, really running hard there. And I think they strung together a whole bunch of running plays that were very successful until they came down to a third and short. And instead of using play action on that, they went ahead, got stuffed. Robbie Gould comes out for a field goal, misses it. And so now you got a break and you got a little cooking to do. And what happens is Gabbert takes a sack on first down. Blake Bell drops the ball. You got Drone make a pretty nice play. And then all of a sudden, it just doesn't go anywhere. Like a lot of disappointing passing plays around a halfway decent play by Drone was what that game was all about. Right up until they won it. Winning really is the ultimate deodorant. Anyone else find it absolutely amazing that Gabbert won that game mostly on his legs before the 71-yard bomb? And if you don't see the irony of Gabbert knowing when to run and choosing to while Colin Kaepernick is a benched quarterback, if Kaepernick ran as instinctually and didn't have that yips in his own mind, he might still be the quarterback of this team. Gabbert looked more like Kaepernick in that game than Kaepernick has looked like any game that he played in this year. Let's go ahead and take some calls. This is Marcus in Pinole. What's going on, Marcus?
Not much, Damon. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
You know, I'm kind of upset at all these Raider fans who are really mad at Jack Del Rio and Musgrave. And at the beginning of the season, I think you had the same thing as I did. I predicted that the Raiders were going to go 6-10. And all I asked was that they be competitive in all their games, which they have in all but one against Cincinnati. So I don't know why we're getting so upset at this team like they were going to go on a big playoff run and win a Super Bowl. No, we weren't going to do that this year. So let's just slow down, take a look at the steps we've made forward, look at the progress, and be happy that we're making progress. That's all I wanted this season. That's what I'm getting.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much. I had the Raiders. I wrote it right here. I wrote down all my predictions, and I haven't thrown them away so I can hold myself accountable for my official Stacking Up the West's predictions. I had the Raiders finishing last in the division at 7-9. I feel good about that.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what they're gonna do. I think they're a 7-9 football team. I think they beat the Chargers, and they're gonna have to either shock the Chiefs, catch the Packers snoozing, or shock the Broncos. You know, maybe 6-10 is what they end up at, but 7-9 could totally be what they are. And they're everything that I thought the Raiders would be. They're halfway there. I'm nothing has really surprised me this season other than how good at times this offense has really looked. If they had a defense, it was just a little bit better, man. Who knows? Who knows?
All right, guy here says the Raiders are a really good team. Damon's wrong. We'll find out what I'm wrong about now as soon as we come on back here. But more of your calls at 888-957-9570. But when we return with something that officially needs the whoa horsey reins pulled on it. These Kobe Bryant introductions are getting a little ridiculous. We'll have the latest example for you next, and I will have a personal request for the Golden State Warrior PA announcer Matthew Hurwitz. I'll tell you the way I hope he does it when Kobe makes his final appearance here in Oakland. That's next.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. We're back with the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
The guy who said Damon's wrong hung up. Oh, I guess I scared him away, Gianna.
Uh-oh.
Another satisfied customer. Another comfortable listener. Welcome back to the Damon Bruce Show. It is wonderful to have you along this afternoon. We're going to get back out to your calls here at 888-957-9570 in just a second. I don't think that there's anybody on the radio here in the Bay Area who's going to show Kobe Bryant's career more respect than me. I think that the guy is, well, here he is. He's exactly what Kobe is. He's the second greatest shooting guard in the history of the NBA. That, to me, is enough to get my respect. That guy could ball. Did I always like the way he played, his style, the things he said, the Kobe Bryant, the cap space? No, I don't like any of that. But show the man some respect in the NBA. Now that we know it's his last season, is starting to do that. In Philadelphia, the city he's from, he was given a lavish introduction, as he should. It's in Philadelphia, right? Well, Kobe goes to Detroit, a city that he has essentially zero connection to other than a visiting NBA city. And we had Detroit's public address announcer not introduce him as much as write him a love letter.
At 6'6", 212 pounds from Moore Marion High School, making his final appearance at the Palace of Auburn Hills in his 20th NBA season, 17 NBA All-Star, 4-time NBA All-Star MVP, 15-time member of the All-NBA team, 2-time NBA, NBA's final MVP, 2007
sure the game's going to start on time.
Olympic gold medalist and a third all-time leading scorer ever in the history of the NBA. Certainly, he has given us some great memories over the years.
Anytime now.
A big round of applause for right now on the floor, number 24, the Black Mamba, Kobe Bryant.
I mean, overtime nearly started before his introduction was done.
That was pretty grand.
It was grand, and all I can tell you is I am a harbinger of things to come. I spot the trend 5 days before the world's onto something. Everybody's fascinated by shapes and colors. We're looking for angles. The least welcome addition to the NBA season is about to be every team's hometown public address announcer trying to trend on Twitter based on how hard they slurp Kobe in an introduction.
Probably.
You watch. You are going to be so sick and tired of 90, 120-second long introductions for one player. One player. So Matthew Hurwitz, not to be confused with Franco Finn, Matthew Hurwitz is the Warriors' public address announcer. He does all of the public address announcing during the game, with the exception of introducing the Warriors' home lineup, which, if I were a public address guy, I'd quit my job. I got to be honest with you. If I can't introduce the home team, I don't want the job. Like, that's the sexy, fun part of the whole thing. But Matt does an awesome job, but they give the, you know, and now that's all Franco Finn.
Right.
Who's also a really good guy.
He's very nice, I got
no problems with Franco. I'm glad everybody works it out. I'm just telling you, I'm the kind of prick who would never allow that. Anyways, but you probably already knew that.
Here's how I hope Matthew Hurwitz introduces Kobe Bryant when he steps into Oracle Arena for the final time ever on January 14th. It's the final time the Lakers with Kobe will play at Oracle Arena. Here's what I want Matthew to do.
Starting at shooting guard for the LA Lakers, number 24, Kobe Bryant.
Done.
That's it. The amount of times Kobe has come and stuck it in and broke it off in Oakland, he doesn't deserve it. He doesn't, he does. He deserves your respect. And he should get a warm round of applause the final time he's ever introduced. But please, Matthew, take it from me right now. Don't slurp Kobe. Don't.
Five-time NBA champ, 17-time All-Star, 2007 08 MVP League, 12-time NBA champion.
12 carats when he gets in a lot of trouble.
What's left? He covered it all.
Olympic gold medalist and a third all-time leading scorer.
We're graduating with a high school GPA of 3.8 and an SAT score of 1450. He speaks two languages. He takes a helicopter to work. His house is nicer than yours. He can do more push-ups and sit-ups than all of us. Kobe, how are your knees after a trip to Germany? Briar!
Oh, God, no.
Come on. Enough. Let everybody in the NBA slurp Kobe. Matthew?
Now number 24, Kobe Bryant.
Actually, you know what? It would be great. Get his number wrong. Be like, number 8, Kobe Bryant. Be like, oh, sorry, he changed it to 24. That would be great. To intentionally botch and trip up. From Duke University. Never went to college. A 6'4", totally short of some inches. New to the league shooting guard. Never an all-star. No championships. Hardly could score a basketball. Kobe Bryant. Everything in sports is just too cute. The suffering from too cute in the world of sports right now is widespread. Everybody wants to be cute on Twitter. Everybody wants to be a sparkly little unicorn. We live in a world now that where full conversations are conducted with emojis. I hate the world that we're living in. In many regards, it's just ridiculous.
Everybody wants to trend.
Trend this. Let's go to Michael in San Jose. Michael, how are you? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hello, guys. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Awesome. So when you were a broker for the day, you hooked me up because I was being optimistic. You also said I was begging, but I'd say more like pleading my case. But you were awesome, and I went to that game, and I was just being optimistic about Carr. And, you know, their season turned around after that game. I went to that game. It was great. We had a great win. It was against Baltimore. And I've been optimistic. They've stayed in most of these games. And, you know, I still back up Carr on social media when people are talking about Matt putting in. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? This guy's the future. I would, to kind of throw a little salt in that Kool-Aid, though, I would say that I feel like Carr lacks that. It's almost like an ego that you'd see with the real greats, where they seem like they cared so much more about football, like Tom Brady, than anything else, that their desire to win, to be that great, kind of.
What has he said that struck a wrong note with you?
You know, it's not that. I still want him. I want him next year. I want to see how he develops. I'm not 100% sold on him. I'd say it's a combination of how he responds to when he drops passes, and then talking about after the game. He, you know, in a lot of his post game interviews, it's always, you know, my job's easy, and oh, this is just the game. It's fun. It's just the game. I just think, you know what I think is? I think he's a great family guy, and I think he loves his family more than he loves football. And as much
Hold on. Well, look, nobody loves football more than me, but I will allow a guy to love his family more than he loves his job and any level of all walks of life in all regards, period. You know, who's got more pressure on him than the guy who lands the lunar shuttle on the moon? I bet he loved his family more than his job, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Barack Obama, very, very, very large job. He's allowed to love his wife and his daughters more than he is being president of the United States. You know,
seems fair.
You know what? We get along great. Our on-air chemistry is undeniable. Gianna, you are one of the most favorite people I've ever worked with in my life. You have my full permission to love your husband and daughter just slightly more than doing updates for us.
Okay. Hard to do, but okay.
However, bouton vixen, this is all you get. This better be it for you, darling. Thank you. When we come on back, Danny, also, Apex, here it is. This is all yours. You're not allowed to love anything. Oh, but happy Hanukkah, though. Happy Hanukkah. When we come on back, Mike Sando's waiting for us. I know we said we were going to take a lot of calls there, but I start riffing on Kobe. How about this, D. Bruce? 1-0 against all charges in Colorado. Kobe.
The Black Mamba.
Is it me or the guys slurping Kobe sound like Mark Jackson? It does sound a little like that. That comes from Magic in Richmond. Yeah, I mean, he does. He's Mr. Detroit basketball. That's him. Mike Sando coming next.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. We're back with the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Damon, when the Warriors introduced Kobe for the final time, they should announce his shooting percentage coming into that game, Louis and Livermore.
Ouch.
And now, a 30% shooter holding on 1 year too long. They should announce Steph as the Beige Mamba.
That's pretty good.
Beige Mamba. That is good. I tell you what, we're going to get back to the Warriors and how to properly introduce Kobe Bryant here in just a little bit. We got much more on the NFL here and now with one of my favorites, the senior ESPN NFL writer, Mike Sando. Good enough to step on in to 95.7 The Game, join us, talk a little football. Mike, good to talk to you again, brother. How are you, man?
Good. How you doing?
Excellent. Thank you very much. If you're a betting man and you have to answer this right now, which you do because it's the interview, your 2016 starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers will be?
Might be Blaine Gabbert.
I don't think it's unreasonable to think that based on what we've seen from him. There are moments where it looks like it's starting to come together, and he's certainly outperformed, you know, what we've seen from Kaepernick pretty much with the same cast of characters around him here. So, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't sound like the worst idea in the world to me, but how about this? There's also a story today that the Niners might bring Kaepernick back. So with all the weird leaks.
Oh, they sure could.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to diminish your options. And the truth of the matter with Kaepernick is you're not going to save – you're going to save money by getting rid of him, but you're going to still have a big chunk on the books. You know, it's not like you just get out from under everything. So Gabbert, you know, isn't going to be overly expensive. You could probably find a way to do it. Have multiple options. You know, one thing that's different for Blaine Gabbert is there's no expectations. You know, when you come in as the guy, you feel that all through camp, and it's different. And everyone's asking you questions, and you're suddenly accountable in a different way. And oh, by the way, every team you play now really watches every game and has a beat on you a little more, and it gets harder. So it's been really refreshing, I think, to see him come in, revive his career a little bit. He looks good, and I thought it was kind of funny that he was scoring on a long run. You know, that's what you kind of had hoped you'd see from Kaepernick more lately, and here's Gabbert doing it. So he's got it going right now. You might as well see what you can do with him because Kaepernick's done for the year. There's nothing really to decide. You know.
Yeah, I mean, it was a victory that was sort of steeped in irony because he looked more like Colin Kaepernick than Colin Kaepernick's been able to look like this year, and I really feel that one of the when you try to add up what went wrong with the development of Colin Kaepernick is that they didn't just try to turn him into a pocket passer. They took away his nuclear option as they were doing it. They were so hesitant. He's so hesitant to take off running with the ball. You basically took away his fourth or fifth gear. And I was surprised, he's been playing with the yips, caught in between who he wants to be and who he is. And there's Gabbert playing to his instincts, and it's working for him.
Yeah, you know, sometimes when you're a young player and you've enjoyed great success, I don't know if this is true with Kaepernick, but it's easy. I was just talking, I'm at the Redskins Cowboys game, and I was just talking to someone about this down in the field about RG3. You know, when you have success early and you're young, you kind of probably think you got things figured out, right? I mean, we all thought we had things figured out when we were 25 years old anyway. And when you have that type of success, maybe some of these guys, for very different reasons, you know, maybe a Johnny Manziel, maybe a Robert Griffin, maybe a Colin Kaepernick, they're not similar in terms of maybe what's holding them back, but you taste a little bit of humble pie and have to sort of reinvent yourself, maybe find out what you're really made of and where you need to improve. Maybe that's happened to Blaine Gabbert, who was handed the keys and a lot of money coming out of college and really struggled in the role. And now maybe he's had some time to deconstruct himself, you know, and come back a better player.
Mike Sando joining us from ESPN.com. And, you know, we look at this team and it's a work in progress, and no one should walk out of Chicago thinking like, okay, everything's just fine now, back to the winning ways. There's a lot that's still wrong with the 49ers, but I tell you, looking for little bright spots in a dark season. Sean Drone, this guy looks like he belongs. He's proof of how hard it is to make a roster in the NFL. He really is. That guy can play. I think the Niners should seriously think about bringing him back next year to complement Carlos Hyde, who might be out until next year.
Yeah, I mean, they need options at that position. And when I think, Hyde sure looked good, but when I think of, like, when Kaepernick really had it going, I mean, they had a lot of backs, a lot of good backs, at least productive at the time with that offensive line. So you're still going to want an offense that position is featured prominently. You know, I think that's the formula anyway. You know, I know we talked about the position being devalued, but you need guys who can carry the ball and take the pressure off of your quarterback. And so, you know, the more guys you got, same thing at quarterback for the 49ers. You know, they just need to have enough guys in the mix before you really find out what they all really are, so that you have options.
The Seattle Seahawks woke up yesterday and for the first time in a long time looked like a real scary, well-built football team. Is it coming together for Seattle now? Is this someone? I mean, the way that Russell Wilson's been playing, he sure has answered his critics that were barking like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I would say, you know, defensively, I don't think they're as good as they've been at their best. And that shows sometimes when you play a Ben Roethlisberger. You know, I don't think they necessarily have the upper hand against the great offenses in the league. Now, you know, against Minnesota, Minnesota is not built to play from behind. You know, they're built to run it and limited number of pass attempts to your quarterback and play good defense. So when they fell behind, they're in trouble. But I think you hit the nail on the head with Wilson. I think Russell Wilson has been dialed in for 3 weeks in a row. You look at his numbers the last 3 weeks, there's something different about him. I don't know if someone got in his ear. I don't know if he's sort of getting tired of the chatter around him a little bit, you know, being a $30 million man, the Hollywood girlfriend, you know, kind of Mr. Hollywood a little bit. And now he just seems to be totally dialed in from a football standpoint. And it's kind of, I don't know how coincidental it is, you know, Marshawn Lynch and Jimmy Graham are out. And suddenly this team looks like a team. It's interesting to me because when they struggled a little bit, you know, all the questions, a lot of them after the game was, hey, you need to get more touches for Marshawn, or what are you doing to work Jimmy Graham in? Hey, this was just a great team effort, and there's been a couple of them now in a row. So you wonder, can they keep it going? And then Graham's obviously not coming back, but at a certain point, you know, Lynch will be healthy again, and is that you just add him in and go, or – How do you handle that? Because the other guy's playing really well, too.
Mike Sando, senior ESPN NFL writer here on 95.7 The Game. And I felt at the end of, in peak Michael Jordan career, that he was the default MVP. Like, you want to peel away from Jordan 1 year and give it to Karl Malone or Charles Barkley. Like, yeah, all right. But it feels like almost it's token to do that because it's Jordan's world and everyone lives in it, even as they're winning MVPs.
And that's the way I feel about Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady is the default setting for MVP of the NFL pretty much every year he's played during the last decade. Cam Newton, though, is having that sort of season that bumps the default off the setting. Is he your MVP right now, Cam Newton?
I think he's gaining it. You know, I would say the first half of their season, he wouldn't have even been close in my discussion. I think he did a nice job and stepped up when they needed it, but they really were a team winning with defense. I think over the last, you know, month, maybe it's more than that, five, six games, he's probably been MVP caliber, and I'd consider it. But what about Carson Palmer? I mean, Carson Palmer is in an offense that, you know, really requires – he's having a great passing season, and has the whole year for a team that's 10-2. They are good on defense, but I think that Carolina's in another world on defense. So let's just see, I guess, how it plays out down the stretch. If Cam Newton keeps this up, he's really, really going to be gaining. I just think that Palmer's kind of done it the whole year, been the driving force for them the whole year, and he might be my guy. I think Brady would have been a good choice and still is a great choice. Kind of like Bill Belichick, he rarely wins the coach of the year, even though he's probably the coach of the year every year or most years. He has to go like 15-1 to win it, or 14-2. But, you know, I think it's harder for Brady to play at the highest level when Gronkowski's out and they don't have the weapon. But I think it really puts a strain on them, and it's harder for him. I feel like Carson Palmer's really in stride right now. It has been all year.
I tell you what, if we wanted to take quarterbacks out of the equation, though, Antonio Brown in Pittsburgh is just like having a wide receiver year for the ages here. I mean, this guy's insane.
Yeah, perfect situation because he's a great player. They pass the ball 70% of the time. They're running backs out, and they have other weapons who you have to pay attention to. So, and then great rapport with Ben Roethlisberger. They've been together a long time. You know, interesting about Antonio Brown is, you know, when you think about the prototypical number one elite receiver, you think about the 6'2 guy, the 6'3 guy, the physical freak. This is somebody who's made himself into a dominant player with his competitive spirit, with his preparation, with his talent, who doesn't have that just unbelievable physical skill set from a size standpoint. I think that's pretty special.
Mike, I want to wrap up with this. We saw a very different contrast in styles in terms of quarterback play in Oakland yesterday. You have the almost scared to make a mistake Alex Smith, who plays functionally very, very well. Same old Alex as we've always known. And we have the young pup in Derek Carr, who might be a little bit too eager to make a play and makes a mistake every now and then because of that. Who would you rather have? The savvy veteran quarterback who's been
Carr. I'd much better have Derek Carr. Well, I think number one, I think Alex Smith, we know what he's going to be, and that's what he's going to be. And I think that Derek Carr, in his second year, you can already see the career arc is heading way higher, and I think he just probably does more physically throwing the ball. And the thing about Alex, I don't know why, but, you know, it could be just because he changed coordinators and was afraid to make a mistake for so long. He really has that governor on him that prevents him from making many interceptions, but also limits the positive plays probably too. Now, that has changed lately. He's been really, really good. You know, they've been a top five team the last probably 6 weeks, and he's been really, really, really efficient over that span. But
you can see he's starting to trust Macklin
over that. They're a lower number. So, to me, there's just no question. When you look at Derek Carr, okay, I've got his game by game on my screen right here in the Redskins press box, and I've ranked his games from best to worst in terms of his stats, okay? And in his best 1, 2, 3, 4, his best six games, they're 5-1. And in his worst six games, they're 0-6. What does that tell you about his team? He has an off day or an average day, they can't win. And I think that is a measure to some degree of, you know, how much a team is reliant on its quarterback. There's other teams that are so good on defense or running game or special teams that even when their quarterbacks have off days, they're in it or they even win the game. But the you know, you'd expect a rookie like Carr, second year guy like Carr, to be up and down a little bit, and he has been. And when he's been down, they don't have a chance.
And when he's up, they look like an actual football team for the first time in 12 years.
Yeah, Mike, they score 30 points when he's up.
Yeah, Mike, great stuff, man. Thank you as always. Appreciate your time from the Redskins press box. A Monday night game only a mother could love, or an NFC East honk could love. Thanks so much, Mike.
Okay. Hey, thank you, Damon.
Absolutely. You can follow him on Twitter at SandoESPN. When we come on back, we'll wrap up this hour with your patience. We've got some people who've been waiting to say hello on the air. We're going to talk to you next. And then at 5 o'clock, Jed York's Twitter account needs a little examination. We'll do that at 5 here on the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show. On 95.7 The Game.
Tell you what I want to know about this Seattle team. Russell Wilson's playing like he's finally getting freaky with Sierra. It's from the text line. Yeah, that guy's playing like he got some in Mexico. I'm not going to lie to you. There's no doubt in my mind. You don't spend $100,000 on a vacation and not make sandwiches. You know what I mean? There's just no way. You're not going to Mexico spending $100,000 on a palace built for sex with the Take Your Top Off video series. What was that? What do you call it? Girls Gone Wild. Exactly. Girls Gone Wild. Now, by the way, Button Vixen looked up. She's like, Girls Gone Wild. Thank you. But she has no participation. No, not at all. Too classy. This shirt, this is a classy program. We would never do such a thing. By the way, if I were, did you see the ridiculous level of criticism thrown at Muschamp, who took the South Carolina job today? And he basically was like, can I recruit? You should see my wife. It was self-deprecating humor, and he's giving his wife a compliment. The angry women brigade came out, called, oh, sexist, trophy, what, da, 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 da. Oh, Jesus. I tell you, Gianna stepped out of the studio here. When she comes back in, I got to run that past her, see how she feels about that whole thing. All right. We got a lot of calls here. Let's go to Smitty in Lafayette. What's going on, Smitty?
Good afternoon, Damon. How you doing?
Doing well.
You know, I love the basketball. I appreciate Kobe Bryant, but he's a 20-year Laker. The Lakers have been kicking our ass for 40 years since Wilt and Jerry West and all them. So he doesn't need another golf clap. He doesn't need a trip to Napa for wine. He needs to be booed long and hard in the whole game. Just show the true respect of Warrior fans that we're not giving in. He's a Laker. We hate Showtime. We hate the Koopa Loop. We hate the captain. We hate anything to do with the Lakers.
Thank you, Smitty.
He's a Laker. He's a 20-year Laker. We do not like Bill Sharman, Pat Riley, Phil Jackson, anybody.
I mean, are you even comfortable with Jerry West being on the team?
Now I am, but he was a Laker, and, if he does anything Laker, he will get booed. They've been killing us for 40 years.
Thank you,
Smith. We hate the Lakers.
Thank you. That is a solid call by a Warrior fan who's been around before, like, last season started. You show Kobe your respect by giving him a one-time round of applause, and then you conduct business as usual, and you boo him lustily the rest of the game. That's what you do. Randall calling from Mountain View. What's going on, Randall?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I'm calling up because I think Derek is getting a little too much praise. It's kind of going to his head. He's kind of got like a Favre complex. But
huh?
The problem is he's going to break Favre's interception record before he breaks his touchdown record.
If he does break his touchdown record, all he is the second greatest touchdown thrower in the history of the NFL. So that's setting the bar pretty high. The interceptions record is thing. And your whole point, like, it's gone to his head. Where is Derek Carr's success gone to his head? In his photo shoot that I haven't seen? In his rap video that he hasn't released? In his ESPN I'm Naked body issue, which he hasn't participated in? In the Derek Carr golf tournament for whatever thing he wants to raise money for, which hasn't been scheduled yet? Derek Carr ending up on TMZ with a whole bunch of sleuths coming in and out of clubs? Not once.
Nope.
Derek Carr, the disaster on social media, it's brought embarrassment to himself and the Lakers or Raiders? Never happened. Where's Derek Carr's success gone to his head in anywhere in the public domain that you've seen? Like, you just can't make stuff up like that because you wanted to call a radio show. I'm not taking any calls from idiots who are making things up. Let me tell you, Derek Carr's success has gone to his head. He's buying into the hype. First of all, what hype? Half the Raider fans still criticize the guy no matter what he does. It took Mike Sando explaining to you that if he doesn't play well, your team has no chance. When he does play well, you're 5-1. You know, how many times has Mike Sando been on the... Or excuse Mike Sando. No, sorry, Mike. How many times has Derek Carr been on the cover of any magazine? I can't remember one.
Nothing.
All those segments on ESPN where Stephen A. Smith and what's his name, Bayless, are debating Derek Carr day after day after segment after day after lead story on SportsCenter every day. Never. Never. Derek Carr can go out for lunch anywhere in Oakland and eat comfortably because half of you wouldn't know what he looked like out of his uniform. Derek Carr's success has gone to his head. Even though there's no evidence anywhere in the world to even suggest that, we have a theory from a caller who doesn't understand. You finally got a good quarterback for the first time in a long time, but you're still going to be dumb enough to complain about it. That's so Raiders, it's ridiculous.
On 95.7 The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.